Well, we started a few weeks ago on our summer sermon series. We usually take a break from the exegetical study that we've been doing. We've been in 2 Corinthians for a little while. And so in the summer, June, July, August, we'll take a little bit of a break and talk about some other things. And what we're talking about this summer is Christian identity, who we are in Christ. And this is actually today the second message of the second sermon in that series. And so this is basically the second half of what I started last week. But we're talking a good bit about identity and what that means to be a Christian. We just sang that song, I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. And one of the ways that we identify ourselves, if you're a Christian, is as a Christian. The psalm that Devin read a few minutes ago, Psalm number 8, asks the question, what is man? What is man? How do we identify ourselves? How do we think about ourselves? What do we think about ourselves? Well, these are all matters of identification. Who are we as Christians? Who are we as individuals? What does God want us to be doing? I recently read part of an article titled, 9 Ways to Find Your True Identity and Discover Who You Really Are. Well, this is a big thing in our world today, discovering who we are, what is our identity. People identify themselves in all kinds of crazy ways these days, and identity is kind of a big thing. So I read at least part of this article, and the author lists 9 ways you can identify yourselves, and all but one of them deals with internal evaluation. So according to this author, you find your identity by looking internally, considering what your own strengths, values, and beliefs are. The author encourages us to meditate on inner thoughts about ourselves and then simply accept who we are. Whatever we happen to find in there as we're, you know, meditating on who we are. Well, let's see, what do I feel like? What do I seem like? What occurs to me? What is in my head? You know, okay, that's who I am. Now I have to affirm that this is what I've discovered. I've meditated and looked internally, and now I'm going to figure out who I am and tell everybody who I am and just be what you are. You be you, in other words. Only if you're confused or overwhelmed, this author says, should you look outside yourself to find what your identity might be. So if I look inside myself and find nothing, or I find something very confusing or several different things, well, then maybe I'll consult somebody else. Maybe then I'll consider factors external to myself. Well, I would deeply disagree with this author. If you follow this author's advice, I think you will be in big trouble. In fact, I think one of the reasons that we see so much chaos and disorder in our world today is because people follow the advice of authors like this, saying that we identify ourselves primarily by what we think about in our brain and what we feel about ourselves. We find our identity in other ways. There are other sources than simply looking internally and feeling the way that we feel about ourselves. We should be much more concerned about the facts of reality, what is true in our world, what is true around us, what is true external to us. We should be much more concerned about that than we are about our particular feeling on a certain day. As somebody said, facts don't care about your feelings. We base our self, we base our identity on the facts, not necessarily on how we feel internally. Well, last Sunday, if you were here, many of you were, I spent the majority of the time looking at incomplete or improper sources of identity. People, unfortunately, today identify themselves primarily by the way they feel about themselves. They identify themselves by their physical appetites or attractions. People identify themselves with trends and fads and fashions. People often, unfortunately, identify themselves in ways that are indecent, undignified, and contrary to common sense. Well, each of these ways of identification, if we identify ourselves in those kinds of ways, that leads to disaster. It leads to significant problems, both personally and for society. We should avoid identifying ourselves in those ways. Today, I want to focus on proper means of identification. That is the true, the biblical, the real, the righteous sources of identification for ourselves. What are these proper sources of identity? First of all, we should note that proper sources of identity are primarily external to ourselves, external. They don't depend upon how we feel about ourselves. They do not appeal to the self as the final authority for identification. As I mentioned that article, the final authority for identification, according to that author, was how you feel about yourself, what you determine yourself to be. You determine your own identity by looking inwardly. Well, I would suggest that we determine our identification by looking outwardly. We look primarily outside of ourselves to come up with our identity. Here's what one of my teachers said. This is Kevin Bowder. He said, "People can say who they are only by pointing to things outside themselves. We know who we are only in terms of our relationship to other things, be they persons, activities, or objects. In other words, our identity is not in ourselves. In order to know who we are, we must look outward. Our identity is formed by the persons, objects, and activities with which we bring ourselves into relationship." So this is the way that we should think about identity, but unfortunately in the world in which we live today, that's not the way people think. People base their identity primarily today, and they're encouraged to do so. They base their identity on their own personal feelings about themselves. Here's another quote from a person who recently, quote-unquote, transitioned from a woman to a man. In other words, this is a woman pretending to be a man, but she calls herself now as being a male. But note the emphasis in this quote on the self. This is what this girl, this woman, says. She says, "Being queer and trans are definitely some of my favorite parts about myself. And yet there are so many things that I'm learning to love about myself through this process. Here's to me getting to know myself, to share myself, and continually evolve to the person I am to be my favorite self in all contexts." Do you ever think about yourself? I want to be my favorite self. I want to reveal myself as my favorite self. Well, that's kind of ridiculous. But did you know all the self-references in that quote? It's all me. I am thinking about my favorite self, and I want to learn who I am and portray who I am and all this. It's all very self-referential. Beginning with the self and inner feelings leads to disaster. Part of the problem that we see in society today is that so many people are centered on the self. They're very self-centered. They're very concerned about their own personal feelings and who they perceive themselves to be instead of the facts that surround them. So, to properly identify ourselves, I think we begin by looking externally at the facts that are around us. We find our identity primarily by looking to other things, not gazing internally. So what are these sources? What are these facts that give us our identity? Well, first of all, identify yourself by your relationship to God. Obviously, God is the greatest and highest being. He's the first and best of all beings. And so we need to make sure that we are referring to ourselves and understanding ourselves in relation to our Creator. One of the great verses in that regard is Psalm 100, verse 3. "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." So the most significant thing that we can do to identify ourselves is to think of our relationship to God. Our Creator has the right to identify us. God is the potter. We are the clay. He is the Creator. We are the creation. So to reject that identity is pure rebellion against God. And this is where a lot of people are today. Millions, if not billions of people, are in rebellion against their Creator because they fail to identify themselves in the way that God identifies them. Because they reject God, they reject God's means of identification. In fact, really, there are only two categories of identification when you come down to it. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either a sheep or you're a goat. You're either under God's condemnation or you are part of God's family. Your destiny is either eternal judgment and condemnation, or your destiny is to live eternally with your Lord in heaven. So, you know, that's really the true identification, the true way that we think about ourselves is in our relationship to God, whether we are lost or whether we are saved. If you are a child of God, then a whole series of other identifying factors then come into play, and we'll look at some of those this morning. But if you're not a child of God, then frankly, you know, you're kind of on your own to identify yourself according to whatever factors you pick. like this author that I talked about said, you can just look internally and decide how you feel about things and then identify yourself in that way, or maybe identify yourself with a sporting team or with your location or whatever. It really doesn't matter if you're an unbeliever. Frankly, it doesn't matter how you identify yourself. No matter how you do that, your destiny is going to be eternal judgment and condemnation if you identify yourself in your rebellion against God. And it's really unfortunate that many people today are doing exactly that. They are identifying themselves in the very ways that are contrary to God's will, in the very ways that are clearly rebellion against God. They want to be known in their opposition to God. And that's unfortunately where many people are today. If you cannot identify yourself as the child of God, well, you can if you want to. That's one of the wonderful things about identifying as the child of God, is that you can change from being a child of the devil. You know, Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. So we can go from that position, that condition in our life, to being opposite or opposing everything of God, to being on God's side, to being one of God's children, to being part of his family. So you can change your identification if you trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior and repent of your sins and become a believer. Then you can call yourself a Christian. Then you can know the Lord as your Savior and you can identify with him. So identify yourself primarily by your relationship to God. Are you saved? Are you lost? If you are saved, then a whole other string of things pertains. And so the second one then would be identify yourself by God's word. If you are a Christian this morning, you must identify yourself according to what God says about you. God has the right to identify his people. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And so God has the right to tell us who we are. We must believe and put into practice biblical expectations. And so here's a list of things. Now, this is clearly not an exhaustive list, but here's a list of things, the ways that God identifies his people. And these will be the topics for the rest of the messages in this series this summer. If you are a Christian, then you are a creature made in the image of God. That will be our message for next Sunday. What does it mean to be made in the image of God? What are the implications for being made in God's image or reflecting or having the image of God? You're a child of God or part of the people of God. You are in Christ. The New Testament uses that little expression, in Christ, about 160 times. So what does that mean? We'll discuss that. You are a priest or part of a holy priesthood. You're a citizen. You're a servant, a steward, an ambassador, a saint, an heir. That is H-E-I-R. That is one who will receive an inheritance. And then there are several words that are used that don't have a whole lot of explanation, but things like soldier, athlete, farmer, vessel, sacrifice, first fruits, lump, and stone. Okay, these are all the different ways that God identifies his people. And so we'll look at the significance of each one of these, Lord willing, as we go through this summer series. So the proper way to identify yourself is to identify yourself the way that God's word tells you. We have instructions. We have God's inspired word to tell us who we are and what we're supposed to be doing, and so we simply follow God's directives. God is the potter. We are the clay. He has the right to identify ourselves, and really it's rebellion to try to identify ourselves in any other way. Now, the fact that we all identify ourselves according to God's standards, if you're a Christian, it doesn't mean that we're all going to be a bunch of cookie-cutter images of one another. All of us have personal identifying factors. We all have common personality traits. We're all a little bit different. So even though we all try to identify ourselves according to God's word and according to our relationship with God, we're all going to be a little bit different. So that, you know, this doesn't mean that we're all going to be exactly the same. We all will have some peculiarities about ourselves. Another way, a third way to identify ourselves is by our family. Identify ourselves according to your family. Couple of interesting verses in this regard. Mark 6:3, Jesus was known as the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon. That verse also mentions Jesus' sisters. So obviously, Jesus had brothers and sisters. I know that our Roman Catholic friends don't believe that, but very clearly from the Bible, Jesus had brothers and sisters. He had a family. Matthew 13:55, is not this the carpenter's son? So the carpenter's son, everybody knew who Joseph was. Everybody knew who Jesus was, who his family was. So Jesus was born into a human family. And going all the way back to Genesis, we see that this is God's intent, is that virtually all of us are part of some kind of a family structure. And so family is one of the most significant markers of identity. We get our name, our ancestry, our ethnicity, and many other identifying factors from our family. I was at home before my dad died, and we were talking with my neighbors, some neighbors of my mom and dad who'd been there for many years, and they knew us very well. And I was standing there next to my dad, and my neighbor said, "Boy, you are the spitting image of your dad." That's somewhat troubling to me, but I guess it's, what can I do? It's genetics. I find that even my handwriting is a lot like my dad's. There are many things that I receive from my parents, obviously. And same with you. You know, we all have these factors and features about our lives that we receive from our parents. And that's totally normal and natural. And I think it's okay to identify ourselves as part of a physical family. One of the great tragedies in our culture is that the traditional family is breaking down. Children often don't have a stable structure in which they grow up. They're maybe shuffled from place to place, and they go from town to town, and they really don't know where they stand in their family structure. They don't fit into a normal family structure, and that leaves them kind of questioning their place in the world. They don't know, you know, how they relate to the rest of their family. One of the reasons that young children are confused oftentimes about their identity is because of their parents. Parents often don't do a very good job in instructing their children and giving them an identity. Parents today are confused and corrupted themselves, and the result is that their children are equally confused and corrupted. Perhaps you've heard of parents bringing their children intentionally out to things like a gay pride parade, or bringing their children to the drag queen story hour. I mean, how do these children get there? They can't drive. They're brought there by their parents. Their parents must be crazy to bring their little children to these gay pride parades and drag queen story hours and things like that. And their parents want to expose them to this corruption and this pollution in our culture. What is wrong with parents like that? They should be cited with some crime and trotted off to jail if that's the way you're going to treat your kids. Many parents today are telling their children that they can decide, these little children can decide on their gender. Little 4 or 5 year old Johnny. Now, Johnny, do you feel like a girl today? You know, you like to play with little dolls and you like flowers and things. Maybe you're a girl. You know, you get to decide on your gender. In fact, there are some people who use names for their children that can be, you know, either sex. They can use whatever gender pronouns that they want. The parents don't tell their children whether they're a boy or a girl. They say, okay, little Johnny or Susie or whatever the name is, you get to identify yourself. And you tell us whenever you've decided on a gender, and then we will go ahead with that. Well, again, that is parental negligence. That is parental crime, if you ask me. And a lot of these little children are directly affected by the stupidity of their parents. And so this is where, obviously, Christian parents can't go down that road. Christian parents should know the facts. This is where the external facts tell you very clearly whether your child is a boy or a girl. And you don't need to be wondering about that. You reinforce that identity. And you don't give the children the idea that they get to pick that part of their identity. That is ridiculous. And so it's important that Christian parents develop and maintain a strong family life. You want a strong, stable family life in which your children grow up knowing who they are. They know their family. They know where they stand in the family. They know their role in the family. And it's not a matter of question. It's very clear to them. And so family life is very important. Strong and secure families are where we want to go. And then we also identify ourselves by your church. Identify yourself by your church. Acts 11:26 says the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch, at that assembly of believers in Antioch. That's where that name Christian was first begun to be used. If you want your children to be stable and not easily led astray, it is a good practice to bring your kids to church and to make church a regular and committed part of your life. Teach your kids that church attendance is a non-negotiable. Children should know that recreation takes second place to church participation. A robust, regular, committed church life helps children to develop their identity. And I would go on to say that I think it's good to center your life in a particular church tradition. For many, many years, I have decided the church tradition that I feel I think is best and I think is most biblical and most solid is this type of tradition, that is, an independent Baptist conservative church. That's the church tradition, you might say, that I have chosen that I think is most biblical and most accurate according to the scriptures. We know that there are other kind of church traditions. We have all kinds of churches here in town. But if you are committed to a particular, you know, sort of branch of Christianity, that's a good thing to stick with it so that the kids and your family are brought up in something that's consistent. We know that there are people who maybe go from a Baptist church to a Lutheran church, and then they go to a Methodist church, and then maybe they go to a non-denominational church, and then they go to the Assemblies of God, and then the Church of God, and, you know, they take their kids from one place to another. Well, that does not give a sense of stability to the children, or even to the whole family. So I think it's wise to, you know, sort of pick a good, solid, biblical tradition, and then stick with it, be consistent with it, so it doesn't bring your children to question, you know, what is all this all about, and where do I stand, and what do we believe, and, you know, all that kind of thing. So consistency in your religious tradition, I think, helps your family as well. And then we also can identify ourselves by our vocation. Our vocation, I think it's a biblical thing to use vocation, our job, our career, to help identify us as well. Mark 6:3. Is not he, speaking of Jesus, is not Jesus the carpenter? He's called the carpenter's son, but he's also called the carpenter. So it seems as if Jesus probably took on the vocation that he learned from his father. Well, from Joseph, at least. We'd call him Joseph, his earthly father. And we know that carpentry is not necessarily only working with wood or only constructing buildings out of wood. It's broader than that. It included other kinds of construction, perhaps with bricks and mortar and things. But the idea of being a carpenter, that's apparently what Jesus did as a vocation for the first 30 or so years of his life before he began his public ministry. He was known as the carpenter. John 4:26, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And who is he referring to there? What is his title? What is his career? Well, he was the Messiah. I that speak unto thee am the Messiah. He referred there to his vocation. Vocation and career are very common ways of people identifying themselves. So if you were to meet somebody new, probably one of the first questions you ask, especially a man, would be, what do you do? And they typically say how they make a living. I think for men especially, men in particular, tend to identify themselves with their job. You know, if you were to ask, who are you? One of the first things that I would say is, I am a pastor of a Baptist church. If I were to ask you who you are, probably one of the first things you say would be your job, your career. Even if you're retired, you'd probably tell me what you used to do for a living. So, you know, that job, that career, that vocation is important. Christians view vocation as not only the way that we earn a living and take care of our family, our vocation is the way we serve God and serve others. God has given me this position, God has given me this job, this career, this occupation, and I use it not just for myself, I use it for God's purposes, and I use it for the blessing of my family and the blessings of others. Just like Jesus said, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. So I use my vocation to love God and serve him, and use my vocation to love others and serve them as well. So it's legitimate, I think, then, to some degree, to identify ourselves by the work that we do, by the vocation that we have, by the career that God has given us. Now, these things change over time, but if we reckon these things to be a part of God's providence in our life, what has God given me the opportunity to do? How has God wired me? How has God given me skills and abilities? Well, these are part of God's providential plan in my life, and I can use them for his glory and for the benefit of others. And even if you're retired, you can use your retired status to serve God and serve others. Maybe you can do other things, things that you didn't have the opportunity to do when you were working full time. Now that you're retired, you have other opportunities to do things. So you use even a retired status to serve God and to serve others. How can you do that as a retired person? I think that's a good thing to consider. And then finally, I think we can identify ourselves by our nation or our ethnicity. Identify yourself by your nation or ethnicity. The nation of Israel, of course, began with God choosing one particular man, Abraham. God constituted the Jewish people as a nation when he gave them the Old Testament law, the law of Moses. That really constituted the people, the Jews, as a nation. It gave them kind of a constitution, a way to live and a way to conduct themselves. Jesus strongly identified himself with his people, the Jewish people, the nation of Israel. Remember that Jesus said he came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The Bible said he came unto his own, and his own received him not. So his own people, who are the people of Jesus? Well, those were the Jewish people. Well, the church, of course, has no national or ethnic identity. The Bible says we're all one in Christ. The Bible says as far as our condition and our relationship with God, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Greek, non-Jewish person, a Gentile, a man or a woman, a slave or a free person, in our relationship with God, there's no ethnic distinctions. There's no, you know, distinctions based on race or color. All those things have no distinction within the church. It doesn't matter red or yellow, black and white. We're all precious in his sight. So there's no ethnic distinction. But when it comes to personally, when it comes to how we identify ourselves as individuals, well, we all have ethnicity. I'm happy to be Scandinavian. I'm Swedish and I'm Danish, okay? Most of us looking out here, probably I think we're all of Northern European extraction. You know, I don't see any people that I know of maybe from Africa or from Asia. Now, it'd be fine if people were coming to our church as part of that ethnicity, but, you know, in the church, it really doesn't matter what ethnicity people are. Personally, though, I'm happy to be Swedish. I like Swedish meatballs and I like, you know, Swedish pancakes and stuff like that. That's great. And those of you who are German or English or what, you know, you like your ethnicity. You appreciate the fact that you came from the stock that you did. There's nothing wrong with that. We identify ourselves by our nation or our ethnicity. So these, I think, are all legitimate and proper ways for us to identify ourselves. We identify ourselves primarily through our relationship to God, to our relationship with God's Word, our family, our church, our vocation, and our nation. Now, there are other items of identification. We can identify ourselves with a sports team or a location on the globe, food. You know, there's all kinds of different ways that we can identify ourselves, but I think these are the main ones. These are the ones that I think are most biblical. We find our identity primarily by looking at these external sources. We don't find our identity primarily by meditating on what's going on in our brain or how we feel about ourselves. We look externally at the facts and at reality, not just meditating on our own heart. We consider God's providence in our life. How has God created us? Where has God put us? How has God equipped us? What opportunities has he given us? What are the physical facts before us? These are the facts that we base our identity on. Now, if you reject God's means of identity, what do you have? Well, then you're lost. You're floating around on a sea of uncertainty because it all just depends upon you and how you feel on any given occasion as to determine what your identity is going to be. And this is where our culture is telling us today, as that author that I cited, just think about your feelings and think about what you like and what you don't like, and then identify yourself according to whatever's going on in your brain. Well, in that sense, there's no certainty there. There's nothing you can really know for sure, because you're only basing things on how you feel about things, and that could change very easily. So people like that today, I think, are often depressed, they're often anxious, because frankly, they don't know who they are. They don't have any solid guidelines to go by. It's just whatever they feel, it's whatever they think, or what is popular, what other people are doing, what other people tell them. So there's no certainty under that system. That's why we have to identify ourselves according to God's Word. Christians need not be confused about our identity. In many respects, God identifies us. We know who we are because we know who God is. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. It's not we that have made us, but He has. So that establishes a relationship with God that shows us who we are in large degree. Failure to follow God's identity is simple rebellion. If you don't like the way that God identifies you, well, you simply need to submit to God's providence in your life. Perhaps there are some people who are, you know, under the influence of this world, and the world tells them you can identify yourself any old way you want to, and you just kind of take stock of how you feel about things, and maybe you feel in a way that you know runs contrary to God's word. Well, what we do as Christians, if you're a Christian, is you submit yourself to God's word. That's part of what a Christian is, submitting yourself to the Lordship of Christ. You allow God to tell you who you are. You don't say, I'm going to rebel against my Creator. And that's exactly what many thousands and millions of people are doing today, is rebelling against God's word, against God's directives, against God's intent for them, by saying, I want to be what I want to be, and God, don't tell me what you want me to be. Does that sound familiar? Is something, there's a story in Genesis about people rebelling against God's word and doing what God told them not to do. Well, that's the human condition. It's like that parable that Jesus told when the people said, we will not have this man to rule over us. We will not submit ourselves to God's rule in our life. Well, that's what unbelievers do, but a believer should not do that. If a believer has certain feelings about himself or herself, and those run contrary to God's word, then what do we need to do? We need to submit ourselves to God and let Him tell us who we are. You end the struggle, in a certain sense, by submitting to God. And that's part of the human struggle as we grow in sanctification, is identifying ourselves in the ways that God identifies us and not saying that I am this, that, or the other that is contrary to God's word. We submit ourselves to God and let Him identify us. And if we don't like it, then we strive to like it. We bring ourselves under submission to God. And frankly, it doesn't matter if you don't feel like you are the way that God identifies yourself. That's part of the Christian life. That's part of the Christian goal in sanctification, is submitting ourselves to God. And there may be a struggle. Some of you may be struggling with, oh, I have certain feelings inside that are contrary to God's word. Well, okay, struggle with those, but the struggle is to bring yourself under submission to God and to His means of identification. Ultimately speaking, God is the source of our identity. It's our responsibility to accept that identity and use it to serve God and to serve others. If we refuse to do so, we alienate ourselves from God and we incur God's judgment. But on the other side, if we do submit to God, and if we do identify ourselves according to the way that He tells us, it only leads to blessing. Happy is the man, the Bible says, who follows the word of God and who submits himself to it. As we trust the Lord, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. He will make your paths straight. So, you know, in our struggle to identify ourselves with God and His word, the greater we submit ourselves to Him, the greater we commit ourselves to doing it His way, the more likely it is that our life is going to turn out to be blessed, to be happy. How do we have a happy life? Cut your body up and pretend that you're a man when you're a woman. You know, submit yourself to all kinds of hormones and all kinds of chemicals that are going to change you and give you about a 90% greater percent chance of killing yourself through suicide. Is that going to make you happy? You think you're going to be happy by submitting yourself to some crazy surgery and pumping yourself full of hormones? And that people who do that most of the time do not find happiness at the end of that trail. We find happiness in submitting ourselves to God. We find meaning in life by submitting ourselves to God and His plan. And it's a great tragedy to see these people who are seeking happiness, I guess, but in reality rebelling against their Creator and finding themselves in huge disaster and tragedy and sorrow. So we need to avoid that by submitting ourselves to God, identifying ourselves according to God and His word and His plan for us, because that is the best. It's like parents have the best interests of their children in mind. Usually, a good parent does. God is our Father. He has our best interests in mind, and if we submit to Him and His way of identification, it's going to work out the best for us. Well, let's close in prayer.